It starts and it ends with references to God. In fact, in the very beginning, it talks about the God, the Creator, who created us to give us inalienable rights. By the time you come to the end of the Declaration of Independence, it's talking about Him being the divine provider. We as a nation have come a long, long ways from the time that we declared that independence from England. Unfortunately, many of our leaders today would like to white out all those references to God that we find in our original documents. They'd like to chisel off our buildings from coast to coast, that our old government buildings that have Bible verses on them and the Ten Commandments and even Moses, statue of Moses. They would like to remove all of that. They have successfully removed from our schools and our courts references to God. And they continue to try to erode the history of us being one nation under God. You and I as Christians, you and I as believers, we really have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to represent Him, to be that light, to be that candle upon the top of the candle stand, brightening and lightening the room, that light upon the mountain that you can see from far off that represents the very presence of God. When you go into the scriptures, you find in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, and I'd like you to turn there with me, verses 1 down through 6, you find King David at a place where he's thinking and contemplating and meditating on where the nation of Israel had been in relation to their walk with God and to where they are at the time he takes the position of king of Israel. And as we look down through these first six verses in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, you find that he does something about it. And you and I as Christians, we need to do something about it. We need to be concerned. We need to be prayerful. We need to be outspoken that we as a nation have walked far away from where we once were when we were looking to our independence from England and our dependence on a benevolent God. So as we look here in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verses 1 down through 6, we see what David did, and I want to challenge you this morning as we look in this text to be stirred to do something yourself, whether it be a great prayer warrior, whether it be to be a great witness, or maybe even to run for office and to be a great presence, that we might make a difference in our nation, a nation that was founded on the principles of God overseeing, blessing, and providing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'm going to read this text to you. Father in heaven, I pray that you be with us as we look into your holy word. I ask that it would be your spirit that moves and works in our midst. Help us to be a people, a remnant, that still look to you and embrace you and honor you. For Lord, our nation needs to be blessed by you. We look to you now, in Christ's name we pray, amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verses 1 down through 6, it says, "And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds, and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, If it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere, that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul." And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shehor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up, and all Israel, to Baalah, that is, to Kirjath-Jearim, which belongeth to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of the Lord. And you and I, we should look across our nation as well, just as David did. And we should recognize that something has been forgotten. Something has been left behind. Something has been allowed to fall by the wayside that once drew us near to God. Certainly David, he recognized that the ark had been forgotten and left. He says, in fact, from the time of King Saul, during the reign of King Saul, he said, we did not have the Ark of the Covenant with us. And we as a nation, we need to get back to our roots, back to our foundation, back to our faith. It starts with leadership. It's interesting that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, the scripture says, I exhort therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Going all the way back to the New Testament times, you find God inspiring that you and I be prayer warriors for our leaders, for our kings, our governors, for our mayors and our chief of police, for all those who are part of the municipalities around us. He says, pray for them. Pray that God would work in and through them, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. Certainly our culture and our society, as we have moved farther and farther away from God, we have become less and less a quiet and peaceable society. We find more contention, more disharmony, more division. We need to pray for our leaders to bring our country back to a place where we honor the Lord. When you look at verse 2 of chapter 13 in 1 Chronicles, it says, David said all to the congregation of Israel as well as every leader. And then he goes on and he actually references the fact that he consulted with the military itself. Verse 1, he consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds, along with every leader. You see, he wanted to involve all aspects of their society, from the king right down through those political leaders, those who had been divided up, right down through the military, right down through the entire congregation of Israel. He says he consulted with them all that they might understand the need for God to once again be the central part of their society, their culture, their country. You and I need to pray for the same. We don't need new ideas politically. We don't need new concepts economically. We need to get back to some principles that are biblical, so that we as a society might become healthy and whole again. That's what David was telling the nation of Israel. That's why he consulted with his military, his politicians, his people. Even as you go down a little farther in the text, it says he consulted with the preachers. Listen to what he says in the last half of verse 2. He says, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. All across our nation, from coast to coast, from border to border, we have churches and preachers in all kinds of different churches. But the difficulty is many of them have themselves abandoned God. They themselves have abandoned God's word. David looked at his nation, he said, here we have all this priesthood, all these spiritual leaders in our nation, and yet we are separated away from God. So he said, we need to come together. We need to come together around a central theme. Let's get the Ark of the Covenant back. Let's bring our focus back. Let's remember what God did for us as a nation. And you and I as a people, we as an American people, We need to remember that we are one nation under God from the very founding of our nation, from the very Declaration of Independence from England. Always were there references to God Almighty at work amongst our people. It's only been within a short time, within our generation, that that has been removed. That's what's so amazing. Many of you, when you were children in your schools, you went ahead and had a time of prayer and even a Bible scripture read when you were children. That's not that long ago. One lifetime, we have seen our nation turn such a corner away from the founding principles of who we are. We need to pray. We need to pray for our kings, our governors, our president, our senators. We need to pray for our military leaders. A little while ago, I was talking to a young man who's going to one of our premier military schools. He's a college student. And he told me, he said, you know, even at that school, at this time, they've gone ahead and passed rules now to restrict their expression of faith. No longer could the school call them to chapel. They had to individually, as students at the college, they have to self-motivate to go. No longer can the school say, it's chapel time, come to chapel. They have to do it because some leader decided that somehow those cadets were being forced to go ahead and honor God. And he told me, he says, you know, the irony of it is we now have more cadets going to chapel than before. So they in return pushed back and said, hey, we are and want to be young men and women of faith. That's what needs to happen. That's what needs to happen all across our nation. Just like David does here, we need to see people stirred up to say, wait, stop. It's enough. It's ridiculous to try to tell people your history is not what your history is. Part of what really stirred me about this was I was reading an editorial in our own Addison Independent newspaper here the other day. And there was a lady that was quoting out of the Declaration of Independence. And when she quoted out of it, she used parts of the Declaration of Independence that referenced God. And she talked about everything all in there and never one time referenced that God was a central part of our founding fathers. And I thought to myself, isn't that interesting? All these things that people are focused on, but they have forgotten the very foundation that those things were focused on. You and I as believers, we need to be stirred to action and stirred to prayer. We need to be stirred to be outspoken. When you look in these verses, look with me at verses 3 and 4. Not only did King David consult all the nation, all the people, from the king down to the preacher, but we notice also that the problem had to be clearly acknowledged. In verses 3 and 4, it says, "And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul." David was not afraid to go ahead and say what the problem was. He's telling the nation, we need to bring again God into our center, into our midst. And it's interesting that he uses that word again, because it directly implies that it once was there. And that's what needs to happen in our nation, in our community, in our state, is we need to go back and say, hey, at one time we were a people who was governed by God. Recognized and understood. Even still today, Congress, when they meet, they open in prayer. Now it has changed dramatically. Here, not too long ago, I was reading an article that was talking about one of the state senates where they came and gathered in their state constitution. They also open in prayer. So they invited one of the atheist leaders in their community to come and lead them in an atheist prayer. I found such irony in that. Who are you praying to if you're an atheist? I don't quite get that. But the guy came, he did a prayer for atheists, and went his way. Some things are so ridiculous that they make the most simple-minded shake their head. It's absurd. But when you look at this, David understood. And he made it clear. We once were a people that put God in our center. And we need to come again to that place that we might be a healthy and sound society. So David called to all the people, and he acknowledged the problem. In fact, it's interesting that he said to him, he said, "We inquired not at the Ark of the Covenant in the days of Saul." He says the previous administration was the administration that pulled us away from the things of the Lord. Now, in our day and age, it's not one administration, it's many. We, over the last 100 years, have come farther and farther and farther and farther. We've appointed justices and judges across our nation who reject the concept that there is a God and that God should have anything to do with our culture and our society. We've allowed politicians to speak for us that there is no involvement of God in our culture. We've given up our voice about our faith. And we've allowed it to happen. David stands up and he says, this can happen no more. We must make a change. We must speak out. We must stand up. So he tells them, let us bring again the ark of the Lord to our center, to our presence, that we might inquire of God, forgetting the way it was under the administration of Saul. Let's make it the way it should be under the administration of David. He acknowledged the need. He acknowledged the problem. And he stirred the people. Listen to verse 4. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. I was reading some statistics the other day. And they say over 30% of the millennials in our society, millennials, that age group called millennials, over 30% of them say, I am not patriotic in any way. I am not patriotic to America. I'm part of the global community, not the American community. And for us to hear that, over 30%, that's a lot of people. To say, no, I'm not patriotic to America, but my patriotism is to the global community. Where does that come from? How has our culture and society changed so much? From the end of World War II, when there was an entire generation willing to go fight for the freedoms. And then through those generations, we saw young men and young women willing to go and give their lives for their nation. And here we are today, over 30% of an entire generation saying, no, I'm not patriotic to my nation. I'm only patriotic to the global society. Something has been lost. Something has shifted so dramatically that it's changed the perspective of a generation of people. And a big part of that is to have lost the idea that God uniquely blessed America. Somehow we have forgotten to teach in our schools that God uniquely blessed America. We are a country blessed by God in a very powerful way. When you look at our history and you look at what transpired, somehow people have begun to demonize who we are, yet at the same time enjoy and bask in all the blessings of what we are. Nobody's perfect. Our nation certainly is not perfect. And our history is certainly not perfect. But you can see the hand of God bless through all those many years, even to today. And we should be a people who step back and say, thank the Lord for the nation I live in. Thank you, God, for blessing the country I live in. Thank you, Lord, for all the men and women who have paid the ultimate price for me. Thank you, God, that we did declare our independence from England. We are not just one piece of a global society. We are uniquely American. And when things come push to shove, when we see world events unravel like we have seen over the last 100 years, they're not welcoming and embracing us as citizens of the world. People begin to draw lines. We saw that happen all over Europe in the 1940s. But it didn't stop then. It still goes on today. Just this morning, I was reading about our nation going ahead and sending some military carriers down through the China Sea because China has started building false islands with air runways and little military bases on them, expanding their presence. And so we're saying, I'm not sure that's a good thing. And they're saying, yeah, that's a good thing. That goes on through every generation, all around the world, all the time. We as a people, we as Americans, we need to pray, God, give our leaders wisdom. Bring us back to a place where our God blesses us and leads us and gives us insight. We want God's blessing upon us. And just as verse 4 says, all the congregation said that they would do so. The congregation, not of a church, but a congregation of a people, of a nation, of all the Israelites. They said, yes, we do need God. Yes, we do need the Lord. And they reached out. They wanted to do that which was right, according to verse 4. When you come down to verses 5 and 6, you see the third piece of this unraveling and coming together, working out as David had seen it. He had consulted with all the leaders. He had gone ahead and acknowledged the problem and explained what needed to happen. And when you come down to verses 5 and 6, they put it into action. Listen to what it says. So David gathered all Israel together, from Shihor of Egypt even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kadesh-Jaream. He knew that if he could just get the ark of God back to the center of the people, back to a place where they would regain their vision and their sight and their understanding that the Lord was the center of their culture. He said, if I can just get that ark back, I can regain the attention of our people. And that's really what needs to happen. You and I as a people, you and I as a congregation, we need to represent the Lord on our jobs and in our community, at our schools and in our families. We need to not be so influenced by everything around us that we are no longer visible. We're invisible. We're just blended in. We live like everybody else. We talk like everybody else. We do the same things as everybody else. That's not supposed to be. God said that when we became children of God, we became a unique people, a holy nation. He calls us a holy nation. We're supposed to stand out. As Christians, we should be different. Not that you should be some sourpuss, old cranky pants. That's not what a Christian's supposed to look like. You and I should have a joy unspeakable. It should be that we have a peace that passeth understanding. It should be that we manifest the compassion of Christ in our lives. There should be some very clear, real differences in the way that we live and act and think. Because God should be living and working through us. And we need to stop being afraid. So many Christians are afraid. They're afraid to speak out. Can you imagine around the world this morning, there are people who literally at the risk of life and limb, they still stand up for being a Christian. But somehow American Christians often are so afraid, they're not afraid of losing life or limb, they're just afraid somebody might not like them or somebody might not talk to them or somebody might shun them a little. You and I, our eternity is secure in Jesus Christ. Our history as a nation is anchored in God. That's why our very Declaration of Independence starts and ends with references to God. Those people knew who it was that gave them their life, their breath. Somehow, across our nation, our leadership and our people, who they have forgotten who gives them their very life and breath. David motivates the people, and they decide, yes, we need to implement the solution. Did they do it perfectly? No, they stumbled along the way. But eventually they got the ark to Jerusalem, and there they established a center, not just for government, but for faith. And the people looked to and went to that place to honor God. There the priesthood gathered, and they begin to do that which was right, not in their own eyes, but in the eyes of the Lord. You and I, we may be a small church in a small state, but it has to start somewhere. We have to work at our faith. We need to pass it on to our children. In your bulletin, my little article I read, and I'm going to take just a little moment. Caleb told me the other day, we were talking in the office. He said, Pastor, you know that most young people don't read the bulletin. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, that's really more people your age. That might not have been his exact words. And I thought to myself, I wonder if that's true. I want to challenge you. We do take time to put these together, not because we just have an abundance of extra paper and time. We really put it together to give you information, including my article in there. I take time to write that because I want to connect with our church family. But in there this morning, I talk about that Middlebury College, one of the professors, have asked to interview, they're looking for 60 families in Addison County who that they can connect with to find out how do those families pass their faith on to their children. It's the psychology department, and they're trying to figure it out. And they're going to get it all from fruits to nuts. But they asked me, they said, would you be interested in having people in your congregation meet with our students? And I said, absolutely. Do you know why? Not because I think that you have so much extra time. Not because I think, you know, that they're so much more important than us. But because I want them to hear how real, true believers pass their faith on to their children. That's why. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to be able to sit down and show some college student who's in their 20s that, you know what? As a true believer, this is how I invest in my children. And the professor came and met with me, and she specifically said to me, she said, we're really looking for people who are very genuine in their faith. I thought, that is great. Because it should be that people who are very genuine in their faith are very purposeful in passing on their faith. Amen? That's the only way it happens. If you're very passive and, you know, blasé about it, then it's very difficult for your kids to pick up a sincere faith from a very casual attitude. But if you're genuine and sincere in your faith, then your kids can see it, and they know, and they experience how God works in your home and in your life. And these folks, they want to study that. They want to understand that. And I'm saying, great, because maybe some of those young psychology students will say, yes, I need faith. And I need to be able to pass it on to my children. And it gives us a little window of opportunity to share what David's doing here. David is saying, we as a nation, Israel, need to get back to God. And you and I as a congregation, we need to tell our nation, maybe through the psychology department at Middlebury College, that, hey, we need to get serious about our faith, serious about our God, serious about passing it on, serious about being one nation under God. God bless America. Absolutely. God bless America. It's the way it started, and it should be the way it is. And I pray that it will be the way it will be one day, that it will continue to be a nation that is blessed by God. What I want to do this morning is, I normally have an invitation, but this morning what I really want to do is I want us right where we are to bow our heads. And I would like us to take a moment to just pray for our nation, to pray for our leadership, to pray that we will see somehow a revival sweep through the hearts and minds of our leaders, our military, our community municipalities, through our people. Let's pray for our nation to get back to where it once was in its relationship with God. Let's take just a moment to pray. Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord. You've told us that where there are two or more gathered, there you are in our midst. You've also promised that when we lift our hearts up before you in prayer, your ear is inclined towards us. So, Lord, we know that your presence is here today within our hearts and within our worship. And I just pray, Lord, that you would hear the desire of our souls. For we do desire to see once again our nation become a place where they recognize that you are the divine giver of life, the very creator, that you are the divine giver of our freedoms, our inalienable rights. Help us to return, Lord, to a place where we understand that your law is the law. Help us to be a people again who understand that our Savior died on the cross for all mankind. No matter what race or financial status. Lord, help us to become a people who truly once again cry out for you to bless America. Only you could do that. Only you, Lord, could stir hearts from coast to coast. Only you, Lord, can bring revival. And I don't know how you would do that, but you are almighty. So we reach out to you. And we ask that you would start with us, that you would give us boldness and courage, give us presence in our community. Help us, Lord, to train up our children in your nurture and admonition. Start with us, Lord, that we might make a difference. Even in this state that is considered the least religious of all states in our country, I pray it begins here. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you have blessed us. And we pray for your almighty hand to be at work. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. We are dismissed.